Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We consider topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And for this, the Topic Hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect us all, both locally and globally. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. And remember, if you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. You can hear podcasts of all the past shows there, and you can connect with me on social media, should you wish, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. So again, the show website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. And as I mentioned, It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour, and we have two new tabs on the homepage of the website, Guests and Topics. And if you click on Guests, it brings up a page with all the photos and names of all the previous guests of the show. We've had some fabulous past guests from all areas of the arts. And all you have to do is click on the photo or the name and it'll bring up the podcast page with the info and audio for you to listen to when it suits you. And similarly, if you click on the topics tab, a page opens with photos and the wide range of topic questions that we've covered. So makes it really easy to browse and find a podcast that you might be interested in. So again, it's a question of balance.com, and at the top, the tabs topics and guests. Right now, on It's a Question of Balance, we're featuring Out and About, our conversations on the street. And the idea is to get us thinking about the questions that affect us all, to stimulate new thinking on our part or clarify what we already feel, and just to hear what other people's opinions may be and how they differ or are similar to our own. And this week we're considering what happens if we characterise ourselves by our political party. So, first of all, let's hear what Lewis and Laurie had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Laurie.
I'm Lewis.
Well, thanks very much for stopping, Laurie and Lewis, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about what happens if we characterise ourselves by our political party. In America, it's common to say, I am a Democrat, or I am a Republican, I am a independent, which embodies our belief. We are what we believe, whereas in Britain, for example, it's much more common just to say I support, I vote for a certain party. So what I'm wondering is if this could be one reason the country's so divided politically, because people feel personally affronted by different views, rather than just seeing the other person as someone having a different view we disagree with but we can respect. If you feel you are something, it becomes very personal about you. So if people don't agree with you, it's almost more like a personal attack. I just wondered if that's something you've ever thought about or think could be a possibility. And you don't need to tell me your political affiliation, but do you think of yourself? Do you tend to think of I am this, or do you think I support this?
Definitely not I am this or that.
Right.
Definitely preferences for who I support, but yes, Not in alignment necessarily with a political party. And to respond to the earlier part of your question, I think by identifying with a party or a name tag or a definition, people definitely limit their options for creative thinking and positive change.
Right. Because that's part of what I was also thinking, is that if once you do that, you may feel that you have to subscribe to all the beliefs of that party, whereas life's pretty complex, actually. Do you think it does limit a sort of
more sophisticated approach to politics if you really just sit with one party?
Ask that question again.
I'm just wondering, if you really identify with one party, you may not actually agree with all the beliefs of that party, but because you want to be loyal to the party that you are, you know, embodying, that you negate other beliefs that you may have or not give them as much importance.
I think that when a person strongly identifies with any label, whether it's a political party or a religious affiliation, it can make it very hard to actually listen, to actually hear people who might, with whom you might actually have quite a bit in common, but the labels get in the way.
Right.
It makes it harder to listen. And I think that's something in our culture that we're really missing and creates a lot of problems, is we don't really know how to listen to each other.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. What about you? What are your thoughts? Do you tend to think of I am or I support?
Well, I tend to think of I support. However, I will say in this country, people have to register as either Democrats or Republicans or independents and things like that. And that contributes a great deal to this. But I think that people...
But you have to in order to vote.
Well, you used to have to. I don't know. Maybe it's changed in the last couple of years.
I'll have to look into that, yeah.
That's necessary. For today in California, you can vote in for any color of politician, I think, you know, in the primaries and all that. But what I was going to say is that when one is active for some kinds of causes, my causes are all fall into the category of liberal and progressive, then one does not want to be identified as a Republican, for example, because of the way the national politics has gone. And yet, some of my close friends are Republicans, but they are people who are not like the stereotypical Republican, you know.
Yes, yeah. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to get at, and maybe I didn't explain well enough to you, is that I think often we hold quite complex beliefs. And if we do just identify, and particularly if we embody that belief, you know, with one particular party, we're not allowing ourselves to have as sophisticated and complex a range of beliefs, because we may be fiscally conservative but liberal in our sort of socio-economic, you know, social views or whatever. We might support gay marriage, but we do want low taxes or whatever. So I'm just wondering if that's what I'm trying to get at, the two things of whether it divides us more, because I think, which is what you agreed with, it makes us not listen to each other because we just see something that we don't believe in rather than a person with some views, but also whether it simplifies things too much and it doesn't fully represent the range of our feelings and beliefs.
I don't know anybody who is a zealot about a label like being a Democrat. I know lots of Democrats, but I don't think that that's, at least here in our area, that that's a problem, except maybe in Carmel.
I'm not sure that people even realize they do it. I'm not sure that you even have to be a zealot. I think, you know, if you talk about politics, people just naturally say, oh, well, I'm a Democrat, or I'm a liberal, or I'm a Republican. Just naturally, whether they feel very zealous about that or not. That's what I've noticed. Whereas in Britain, people, like if you support Labour, you can't even say I'm a Labour. There isn't even a word for it. You can't say I'm a Labourite or whatever. You know, people just, it's a linguistic thing, but I'm just wondering whether it has a deeper sort of aspect to it in how we then feel about each other. I mean, the country's so polarized. I'm just trying to feel into that.
I don't think it's polarized because people are labeling themselves as Democrats or Republicans, and it may be that way in certain areas where people are have less experience of the world, things like that. So, but I don't think around here people are quite that way.
No, so you think around here people are representing more complex
Oh, yeah.
aspects.
My friend, Lori, we never talked about are we Democrats or Republicans. All we talked about is are you going to vote for Bernie or Hillary? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but they're both Democrat, aren't they? Yeah, and I think, you know, what I'm also thinking, though, that if you hold complex beliefs. You wouldn't necessarily always vote for the same party, necessarily.
Oh, no.
You might vote for someone who is more representative of your own views.
Well, and that said, back in the day, when there were a good number of Republicans, elected Republicans, people of good conscience and intelligence and who made... had commitments to strong the values that I share, but they were also Republican, you know.
Yeah.
But that was then, and we're not seeing that so much now. Senator Peter Baer, who was a California state senator for many years, he was the father of the State Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. He was a Republican.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see too many Republicans these days, you know, sponsoring national legislation to protect wild rivers.
No. Yeah.
So I think we have lost a lot of the complexity of earlier times. And for a variety of reasons, many of which I'm not qualified to go into and we don't have the time right now anyway.
Yeah.
Things, you know, it's people have simplified,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
I'm a this, I'm a that. And
exactly.
then they don't have to think about it anymore.
I think when you have a label, it definitely makes it easier also. I mean, all this mudslinging that we see and just, you know, trying to tear down the other person, it's much easier to do that if you see someone as a thing rather than as another complex human being.
Yeah, I want to say something. I met Lori recently on a dating site. The reason I was interested in her is because she said you could check a few boxes.
Right.
And the box she checked was liberal.
Right.
If she had checked conservative, I would have gone to the next person, you know?
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah, I guess in some context.
Initially, but it doesn't take you very far
in the
development of a relationship with integrity and interest and excitement and variety. So
yeah.
it's an initial check, but it doesn't tell you too much.
Yeah, but it does tell you. That's a choo-choo train I don't want to step on.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I guess is kind of sad in a way, like you're saying. It used to be more... complex what a Republican or a Democrat meant, and now it's become very, very polarized. I mean, in my opinion, it seems that way. But,
well, I think the polarization, though, is over a lot, over issues. It's not over so much parties. It's over things like guns, gun control, and fracking, and all kinds of other things like that. Those are the things that are important to people.
Yeah.
They're certainly important to me.
I think you're right about that. I think what I'm trying to get at is perhaps more how we treat each other. And I think that we may have differing beliefs, but if we can respect each other and see the values behind those beliefs, we're more likely to reach a point of understanding or even compromise.
Absolutely. But, you know, how many conversations can you think of or would you be aware of where the conversation actually goes to the values underlying the beliefs? Very, very few. We don't have that conversation on any level,
you know.
It's very unusual to have a meaningful conversation about values as opposed to strategies or actions or beliefs.
Yeah.
We very rarely get to that level. And that's the most important one, I think.
Well, that's where the commonality can be found.
Exactly.
I think. Because often people's values are quite similar.
Right.
It's just
health,
their beliefs.
Well-being,
good
education for the kids, safety. We all share those values, but our strategies for making those values come to life are very different.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for your opinions.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the week, on the street, rather. This week, we are considering what happens if we characterise ourselves by our political party. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a question of balance music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year, and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway, or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour, an arts guest interview hour. Right now we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And we try to consider topics with local relevance and global significance. The idea is to get us thinking about the big questions that affect us all. And this week we're considering what happens if we characterize ourselves by our political party. And the next person that I spoke to was Dan. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Dan Spells.
Well, thank you for stopping for our Out and About feature. And our topic this week is, what is the effect of defining ourselves by our political party? And I'm wondering whether you feel the need to do that, whether you do that?
I don't really define myself by my political party.
Independents here, who are people who tend to consider issues more and candidates individually rather than following a party line, are often portrayed as being a bit wishy-washy or as if they can't make up their mind. I'm wondering if that's the case, or perhaps whether they're just viewing the political landscape in a more complex fashion, perhaps.
I feel fine towards people who say they're independent, and I don't find that reprehensible, or it doesn't really doesn't stir me up.
Do you have any idea why people do embody their political beliefs here?
That's a good question, you know. I mean, that was, that's your little introduction about
right.
that kind of caught my curiosity, and I'm mulling that over as we speak. I can't, just off the top of my head, I don't know why we grip ourselves so tightly around our political affiliations.
Do you think it's something that perhaps people aren't even aware of?
At some level, I think probably so. I think, yeah, you might be onto something there.
Yeah.
It seems that people sometimes feel almost hateful towards one another over their political identities. And I just returned from a six-week family history research expedition to, among other states, Illinois, which was the founding of the Republic, where the Republican Party was founded. And of course, the Republican Party at its origin and the Republican Party today are, you know, quite dramatically different.
Right.
And while I was there, it was fascinating because, you know, many people in my family are Republicans, and I used to question my dad as to, you know, why was he a Republican instead of a Democrat, or, you know, what were the reasons that he picked as far as a party affiliation. This
uh-huh.
is in, we used to watch political conventions together in the 60s, the 1964 and 1968. And, you know, he'd give me his brief reasons, but it wasn't really until I went back and was in Illinois and I've been learning about, like, the abolition movement and the long campaign against slavery in the United States, and how Abraham Lincoln was a central figure in that movement and visited towns where family members lived, and that some family members, I think, were involved in the abolitionist movement, that I began to feel a sense of understanding how my family members, many of whom came out of Illinois, like their Republican origins.
So
the original Republican movement was not about hostility and animosity. It was, you know, it was actually about opening up and including and thinking more broadly about humanity and
right.
and extending freedom and so
yeah.
forth. Anyway.
So in some cases, perhaps people are embodying history in a way, their family history.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of stress, I think, at work in the world today. The industrial era is rife with stress due to so much change. So much people are moving and changing. I learned that my family members sometimes moved every year, maybe more often, you know, trying to find work, get settled, and then having to move on. And I think in the industrial capitalist era, there's just so much stress due to change and movement and uncertainty. People feel a lot of stress, and I think that, you know, sometimes that just, I mean, that politics is probably just one way that, that, you know, animosity and hostility come out of people. It's a way to, like, focus vague feelings inside over the anxiety around, like, how am I going to get by? How am I going to deal with what's going on? And you know, if we identify with a party affiliation and some ideas, it's much easier to, I'm guessing here, it's much easier to, you know, to, like, target or focus on a certain idea with hostility. I mean, I just think of how easy,
yeah.
it's so easy to say, to, you know, to call somebody stupid or an idiot or ludicrous or dismiss each other without really thinking and listening.
Yes.
And also, those are my guesses.
Yeah.
That this long period of stress and upheaval, it really doesn't seem to be settling. And people really don't seem to. I mean, leaders and people seem to, be uncertain about what would calm the world. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Part of what I've wondered about this embodiment of beliefs is that when we do embody something, if we are what we believe, then it becomes very personal. So if anyone disagrees with us, it becomes much more threatening if we feel it is us. You know, I am a Democrat and you're against the Democrat position, you're against me. I wonder if you think that could contribute at all to this hostility that you're talking about.
Well, I do remember. I do remember a line from a Neil Young song that says, "Let's see, it goes something like, I don't feel like Satan, but I am to them." And I think, I think a lot of times people feel like evil to somebody viewing them, even though I don't feel like Satan or I don't feel evil, somebody else looks at me and says what I think is sinful or worse, or you get my drift?
Yes, yeah.
So there, there is that, and when people are sort of backed into even a psychic corner, let alone a physical corner, but even a psychic corner where you're really being labeled and treated as something horrible, some horrible phenomenon that loosed itself on the planet or in the community, then I think people feel defensive, and oftentimes the way people defend themselves is to lash back at somebody else, and you get these bad feedback loops of hostility welling up and being expressed at each other.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good topic. Great topic.
Thank you.
I'll be thinking about it for days and weeks, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We have a different topic every time. And basically, I'm just talking to the people who agree to talk to me. I'm not trying to weight the issue one way or another. We're just featuring people's thoughts and hoping that will stimulate our own thought process and what we feel about a particular issue. Well, the next person that I spoke to was Paul. So let's hear what he had to say.
I'm Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. I'm doing my out and about feature this week. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Right, my name's Paul. I grew up in Nottinghamshire in England, and then I lived in London for 12 years.
Okay.
Before moving to here a long time ago, 2001.
Ah, okay. So this week, our topic is, what is the effect of defining ourselves by our political party? In America, we tend to embody our political beliefs. I am a Democrat, I am a Republican, rather than just saying we support that party. I'm just wondering what effect you think that might have.
I think it's very different here. It's very polarized. People tend to toe the line of the party instead of thinking, well, what's my position and how do I feel about a topic? And then choosing what person best represents that topic to represent you. Instead of that, they tend to say, well, what's the Republican point of view on that topic? And I'll believe that. That's what it appears to be to me. Whether that's correct or not, I don't know. But it's just one of those things where you sit there and you think, well, no, don't toe the line. Think about what your feelings are on it and then decide who's the best person who represents you on that topic. And it's not like that here, whereas in the UK it's a little bit more like that. People tend to be a little bit more centric. I guess, between the gulf, if you like, between the two parties.
Yes.
But here it seems to be like people toe the party line. Doesn't seem to be any reach out between, across the divide, if you like.
Yeah.
No one really wants to reach out. Everybody wants to go, no, I am, you know, I am proud to drive a gas-guzzling car, or I'm proud to, you know, and I've seen, you know, very many Democrats and Republicans, and they go, take vehicles, for instance, they go, proud to be a Republican. Great, you're driving a Honda. Drive an American car. You know, support your own people. Just because you're a Democrat doesn't mean you should definitely be anti-gun. Just because you're a Republican doesn't mean you must love guns.
Yes.
You know, it shouldn't be that way. You should go with what your heart is and how you feel about that particular topic, and then vote for the person who best represents that topic.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of why I'm interested in this topic, because I just noticed this a while back, and it started me thinking about whether it is contributing to the fact that we are so divided here by party. Because if you are saying I'm this party, then anything that doesn't fit into that party's view, there is a feeling of needing to reject, or at least not consider.
Yeah, by definition, because you should be NRA if you're Republican.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, it doesn't work that way. If there's guns killing people in schools, shouldn't we all be against them? It doesn't matter what party you support. It's your kid, your school. You really want someone coming into your school as a nutbag shooting people? I mean, look at what happened in the UK. There was a bunch of children got murdered in a school in Scotland. Within 6 weeks, all firearms were banned. You can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. And then they say, well, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And it's like, yeah, they do. But if you don't put a gun in their hand in the first place, they don't have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah. I think that's less of a party thing and more of a...
But if you look at the party side of it, the Republicans are like pro-gun.
Yes.
That's the way it's represented. And just if you do vote Republican, do you have to be pro-gun? Because you do.
Right.
And I think a lot of people get categorized into that thing because that's the party line.
Yes.
And you have to toe that party line if you want to be part of that that membership. And it's like, I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm not a citizen. I'm a legal alien. So, which I always thought is such an odd term. But because I'm a legal alien, you know, I can't vote. And I'm kind of happy about that.
Right, yeah.
You know, because it's difficult for me to choose between the two.
Right.
Because there's no mix, there's no blend, there's no consensus between the two. They're so very divided.
Yeah. I think that's something you definitely notice, certainly coming from Britain, that the parties fall into a different category, definitely. Like, the Republicans do not represent the Conservatives in Britain, and the Democrats don't represent Labour. It's just completely
different. Way different. If anything, I would say the Democrats are probably closer to the Conservatives in the UK.
Yes.
And, you know, Labour would be considered, you know, Trotskyites or something like that, you know, over here, which is really odd because they're not, you know. There just doesn't seem to be any joining across the divide. It's like no one wants to talk to each other, and until that happens, you're going to have serious problems in this country.
Yeah.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our Out and About feature, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And that was Paul there giving the view of somebody originally from Britain who I just coincidentally happened to come across on the street. So interesting to hear a sort of somewhat of an outsider's perspective who's lived here for a long time. And this is an interesting topic to me also as a dual citizen. What happens if we characterise ourselves by our political party? Well, we're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel, and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and it's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and an arts hour. Right now we're featuring Out and About, where I go and talk to people on the street about different topics, different subjects that affect us all. We don't deal with politics directly, but we look at issues, ethical, philosophical issues that underlie politics and current events in our daily lives, timeless issues. And I just stop people who are willing to speak to me, have a conversation, and feature their thoughts in the hope that that will get us thinking ourselves. And if you have any comments about the topic this week, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I hope you might do that. I always like to hear from you. And if you have any ideas about topics you would like to hear or arts guests that you would like, then do let me know. So next, I spoke to Donna and Henry. So let's hear what they had to say.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names, Donna?
Henry's.
Okay, so on Out and About this week, I'm considering what is the effect of defining ourselves by our political party? There's a strong desire in America to self-identify, and sometimes people who are independent are thought of as being a bit wishy-washy, like they undecided, they can't make up their mind. But I'm just wondering if that's the case, or perhaps they're seeing the complexity of actually political issues. Just wondering if you have any thoughts on that, what the effect is of being independent, and perhaps, you know, this need to feel you have to identify with a party.
Well, I don't feel like I need to identify with a party.
Okay.
And I don't really identify with either party. I think they both have their pros and their cons. And I like fiscal conservatism, and I like liberal thinking.
Right, yeah.
So I think there's too much polarization. So, I mean, and I understand that it takes a far left to balance a far right, but it makes it very difficult to work together for the common good if we find ourselves out on either end.
So your approach to voting would be based more on issues and evaluating particular candidates rather than voting on party lines?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I've liked political, you know, different people from different parties. I voted both ways. I think polarization and bipartisanship is a good thing, and polarization is just takes us in a direction of no solution.
Right. And what about you? What is your approach to political issues and how you vote and assess issues?
Yeah, in general, I try to educate myself as much as possible on whatever issues are on the ballot and the people who are running for office, and then vote for the person or the issue that I think is going to do the most good on the big picture. Mm-hmm. It's hard to figure that out often.
Right,
but
yeah.
That's the intention.
Right. I think about 30% of people I read are independent, so that leaves quite a lot of people who feel they want to identify with a party in that very embodied way of saying, I am a Republican or I am a liberal. Obviously, people identify with parties in other countries, but they don't sort of embody it in the same way. Do you have any thoughts about why in America we, you know, a large number of people want to do that?
We are a very immature society. Literally. I mean, in the sense
right.
of being a young country compared yeah. to Europe or Asia. And I think that there's definitely a degree of immaturity that comes with that, and it's expressed in this I am
right.
sort of, I need to be something.
Right.
Right or wrong.
Yeah.
I am.
Yes.
I don't, so.
Yeah. Well, complexity is challenging, I think, isn't it? And it's not necessarily, it doesn't make you feel secure.
Doesn't make me feel secure when people don't know what when they haven't done any investigation prior to making a commitment to a party. I mean,
right.
a lot of it's, you know, the voting the party line is, it just doesn't make any sense to me not to take a look at what the issues are, what the voting record is of the candidate, and what is the candidate's ability to work with the other party.
Right.
I'd rather vote for somebody that can work together with someone with others than somebody who's just gonna try to force their own agenda forward.
Because if it is government for the people, by the people, then you need to represent all the people, even if you have been voted in by just over half of them, hopefully, presumably.
Right. I agree with that. And I think as far as the question you just asked, I don't know that people really think about it that much in depth. They just, it comes more from this is the way it's done. Mm-hmm. So my parents decided they were this, and I've decided I'm that. And,
yeah.
Or, you know, their friends are this. Or, I don't know that much thought is given to it, which is another reason why we're immature.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it's a lot of work to figure out what the complexities of the issues are these days.
Right. Yes.
And if you don't have
it's hard to find what the real. I mean, there's so much when you read the information packets that come out when you're getting ready to vote, especially on issues, there's so much confusing information given. It's just not clear what you're really voting for. A yes vote could be actually voting against something.
Right.
I mean, it's just not clear.
Yes.
It's not cut and dry. So it is. It's confusing to people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's another question that I have that I've noticed here when I became a citizen and voted for the first time, that I wonder if there's a bit too much micromanaging. In Britain, you would vote for someone you hope is going to represent your views and carry them forward, and if they don't, then you don't vote for them next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because with so many issues on the ballot, you can't know about all of them, so you are just sticking a pin in a little bit, aren't you? And then only the people who really are invested are going to vote on those particular issues. So.
Well, and then the other part of it, too, is that there's this law for, I don't want to try to give examples, but there's a law for X, but hidden within the law for X is these things about A, B, and C that have nothing to do with X.
Yeah.
And so I may not be for A, B, or C,
right.
But I'm for X,
yeah.
And you're conflicted.
Yes.
How do you vote?
Yeah.
I don't really want to vote for this other piece. Right, yeah.
But if I cast my vote for this big, larger picture, it's supposed to be the larger picture, then it comes with all these other little things that don't make me feel so good.
Yes, yeah. Just finally going back to my original question, I'm just wondering if you embody your belief by saying, you know, I am a Republican, I am a Democrat, do you think that that could lead to less flexibility and focusing on issues that your party adheres to, even if perhaps they're not totally what you subscribe to? Like you were saying that you have some conservative views and some liberal views. Do you think there's a, do you think that people who are embodying their party line
are lazy? And they don't want to think for themselves, so they just, I mean, in order to you know, if you don't understand the issues, you can just vote the party line.
Right.
So if, and I think that that's what a lot of Americans do. We're kept so busy with our, working within this society that keeps us working as hard and as much as possible that we don't even have time to read.
I believe that most people in our country are probably more middle of the road, even if they identify, self-identify as a Republican or a Democrat or even an independent or a Tea Party or whatever. I think most people are conservative in some areas and liberal in others. And I hope that they're voting for what they think is the best for everybody and right. not just following a party line.
Right, yeah. Well, thank you very much for stopping. I really appreciate your time. You're welcome.
Thank you for asking.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thanks to Donna and Henry there. It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and an arts guest hour. Right now we're featuring Out and About, where I have conversations with people on the street. This week we're considering what happens if we characterise ourselves by our political party. And I'm wondering, as you're listening, what's coming into your mind about this, what your thoughts are, whether when you think about your politics, you do embody them, you do think, oh, I am a liberal, independent Republican or whatever, or whether you think more, oh, the Republican Party represents my beliefs, or I vote for the Democrats. It's an interesting thing. Just, it seems like a small linguistic difference, but one of them does really embody a belief. It makes it, we are what we believe, and the other keeps it more separate from us. So I'm just curious about what that difference might do in how we then relate to people with different views to us, and whether it's possible that this way of thinking could be contributing to the division between different political affiliations in America. So the next person that I spoke to, we've got time for a couple of more quick thoughts, was Jeremiah. Let's hear his thoughts.
I'm from It's a Question of Balance radio show. My name is Ruth Copland. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
I'm Jeremiah Blanton.
Okay. So our topic this week we're doing on Out and About is, what is the effect of defining ourselves by our political party? And perhaps I should ask you first, do you feel like you need to identify with a particular political party?
No, I don't.
So would you call yourself anything, an independent, or if somebody asked you about your politics, how would you describe how you approach politics?
How would I describe it is, I'm not really a political person because I don't believe in politics, because I'm more of a religious person and I believe in God and stuff, so I just...
Do you think that we can achieve anything through politics? Is it a vehicle for change, you know? I mean, even if you feel inspired by God, you know, and spiritual motives, do you think that politics is a way to create change?
No, it isn't. I think we should go back to the days when it was set up, when a king moved a kingdom and stuff, and And I think the best king we had in the ancient times was King David, because he was a very good king and stuff. And Dad said that he was a man after his own heart and stuff. And so that's why King David was the best king back in the Old Testament times.
So you would prefer a situation where somebody rules over us and makes decisions for us that are in our best interest?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for stopping and talking to me. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, there's an interesting point of view there from Jeremiah wanting to go back to having a ruler that looks after everything for us. And that's a sort of idealized view, I suppose, of the kind of benevolent ruler or benevolent dictator who makes all the right decisions for us. Probably an idealization, but a way round the division that we currently have between the two parties and the very conservative and the very liberal, and how never the twain should meet. Next.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Scott Free.
Okay, so for our Out and About feature this week, our topic is, what is the effect of defining ourselves by our political party? Perhaps to start with, I'll just ask you, do you feel you need to identify with a particular party?
Me, no. I feel like I personally need to reject those systems. I see a lot of confusion with identifying with them.
Do you understand why people feel the need here to, say I am a Republican or I am a Democrat and identify so personally with their politics?
Not fully. I've got a gist, but no, I've never really come to a real understanding of that.
So that was Scott Free talking about the fact that he just really doesn't understand that. So maybe that represents a lot of us, that we don't quite understand these issues, quite understand why we're in the position that we are. But maybe by discussing things, we can begin to understand and clarify why things are the way they are and what we feel about them by hearing what other people think. And that basically is the basis of Out and About. So I hope that that has been your experience listening, that it's stimulated some new thinking for you. And remember, It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour, so be sure to tune in to hear inspiring in-depth interviews with guests from the arts, as well as thought-provoking topic discussions on the street. You can check out the website for podcasts to listen to anytime, and do tune in regularly Saturday 8 to 9 live for more stimulating discussions and inspiring guests. Thanks for listening, and join me again for the next Arts Hour.